Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Getting Hot in the Kitchen. Your hosts, Dr. Dave and Venus Quintana, will entertain, inspire, and ignite your passion for food. Good evening and welcome to Getting Hot in the Kitchen. I am Venus Quintana.
And I am Dr. Dave. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening, Dr. Dave. Good evening, everyone, to all our fans out there listening to us on this beautiful Monday evening on the East Coast. It is officially August 1st.
Can you believe it? I cannot believe it. It's actually quite shocking. I mean, August 1st, where does the summer actually go? It goes so very fast.
It does go very fast. It does. So I hope everyone has enjoyed their week. I was just thinking back to last week's episode that we did about tequila, because it was National Tequila Day last Sunday. And, you know, it's interesting because I feel like I know so much more about tequila than I did before we did the show last week. I was actually in, I made a wonderful purchase today, didn't I?
Oh, you did.
What was the name of the tequila? I went into this wonderful store. It's actually in Seacliff, New York, which is a beautiful little coastal town. Reminds me very much of Europe. It's winding roads.
Beautiful coast. Beautiful.
It could have been on the Amalfi Coast. And I was with my girlfriend Svetlana, who is from Ukraine, and we were having some kind of lunch, and we did we had some kind of a business meeting and so forth. And I went into this store. It's called the Village Wine Merchant, and they're always sending me emails every week, wine tastings, dinners, you name it. And I always say, how did they get my email? I've never been in this store before.
You think you haven't. I guess they think you have.
I have never been in the store
before. I don't know about that.
So we paid a little visit to Citibank. we tried to rob them, but it didn't work.
Didn't work?
It just didn't work. Two blondes trying to rob a bank. Not a good combination.
That'd been a good movie, though. I'd watch it. I would definitely
so
watch it.
Across the road, I saw the Village Wine Merchant. I said, let's go in here because it looks really interesting. So we go in and we speak to this lady. She wasn't the owner. She worked there, but she was very, very knowledgeable. And a very small wine store, but one of those stores where you walk in and you just know that they know what they're doing.
Oh, yes. I love
and
that.
And she said that they specialize in small batch.
Yes.
She said a lot of the clients, they come in and, very well-to-do, affluent people on the North Shore, and they have requests. They say, you know what, I want my Hudson Valley small batch bourbon whiskey. Where is it? And they go and get it for them. They actually go out and get it.
So they source it.
They source it.
I love that.
So we were talking about all these wonderful bourbons and tequilas and mezcals, and she showed me a tequila. And the name of it is Cimarron Blanco. And it's 100% agave, obviously, which real tequila is supposed to be from Jalisco, Mexico.
Nice.
And she said that a lot of people come in and they try and buy the $60 bottle of, I think, Patron Reposado.
Yep.
And she basically turns them onto this, which literally is, and I hate to say it, but it was only $23. It was a cheap bottle of tequila.
Well, an inexpensive bottle of tequila.
Inexpensive.
Quite good. No, it really was.
And, it's interesting because on last week's show, I remember that the best tequila is not always the aged tequila.
That is correct.
Sometimes a very young, kind of immature tequilas can actually
kind of like me.
Well, I was actually going to say kind of like me, but you beat me to it. I don't know if you have, if you really fulfill the criteria for that, though.
I'll have to
study that a bit later on.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I bought this wonderful bottle of tequila, and I gave it to David, and he likes it, right?
Mikey likes it.
So tell me about it. How do you like it?
It's very smooth. I put some fresh lime in it, put a little of ice over there. It was really actually quite nice. And I'm a Reposado or Añejo guy, which is a little bit more in-depth and smoky. But for a Blanco, this is really smooth.
Mm.
No bite. No bite at all.
No bite. And, it's interesting because when we talk about how much money we want to spend on food, how much money we want to spend on wine and alcohol. And she says she gets these clients in the store, and they're like, okay, they come in, I need to spend $100 on a bottle of wine. Why do you need to spend $100 on a bottle of wine? Well, because that's what I want to spend. That's my budget. I know that for $100, I'm going to get a great bottle of wine. And she's like, you know what? You're going to get a great bottle of wine for $40, for $50.
Exactly.
Why do you have this whole kind of idea in your head that you need to spend a certain amount of money? So she really kind of gave us some wonderful tips and advice, and I think I'm going to go there again.
Well, I hope you do, because I like gifts, so keep going. But, you know, like, tonight is put your money where your mouth is, right? So it's all about dentistry, right? Cosmetic dentistry. So you want the perfect teeth, the best smile. I mean, put your money where your mouth is, right?
Well.
Oh, wait, did I get this show wrong?
I did. I think you did.
I think I did. So tell me, what was our objective tonight?
Well, the show, you know, I mean, of course, we like to keep the kind of healthy focus and the healthy trend throughout our shows. But basically, you know, tonight we're going to be talking about making healthy choices.
Yes.
We're going to be talking about junk food versus healthy food. And is junk food actually cheaper than healthy food?
Mm.
Surprised at some of the
statistics and stuff,
research done. You know, I mean, it's all relative. It's all the way you look at it. So we're definitely going to be talking about that in a little bit. But
you know what, too? Let's mention if people can call in tonight. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of comments, questions, and things of that nature, because, I mean, when we get into the nuts and bolts of this whole thing, it can be somewhat, I wouldn't say controversial, but everybody has their own viewpoints on where to put your money. So if you can, give us a call. We would love to hear from you. 1-323-642-1296.
And, you know, I'd actually just like to preface this whole show by saying that, you know, normally on a Monday night, David and I are getting ready for the show, and, of course, Venus being Venus is starving, and there's always something that she needs to eat, because as we're doing research for the show, you know, we're looking at all these different websites, and we're talking about food.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at food and talking about food always makes Venus very hungry.
And Dr. Dave very busy.
Dr. Dave very busy.
Very busy.
I said, David, I said, I know you don't eat because you're a robot, but Venus has to eat. I need a snack.
Stat.
Please whip me up a snack before the show, but please, it needs to be healthy. So can I just tell everyone what David did? Within less than 5 minutes, he whipped me up a bowl of the
shirataki.
Shirataki from the konjac, right?
That's correct.
Shirataki noodles in this amazing broth, Asian broth with sesame seeds, green onions. It was like a kind of soupy broth / ramen noodles, but not with all the bad stuff and sodium in it. And topped with two, like, loosely fried eggs.
No, wait, perfectly loosely fried eggs.
I inhaled it.
Wait, who made that again? Who made that again?
Dr. Dave.
Oh.
I inhaled it like it was my last supper. And it was the most incredible thing I ever had. And it filled me up. It really satisfied me for the time being.
Folks, do know that's a very, very true statement. 10:01.
But apparently that whole dish cost me 60 calories or something.
65, I calculated.
65 calories.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Unbelievable. So to everyone out there who really believes that healthy cooking and good cooking takes time, you are very much mistaken, my friends, because clearly healthy cooking can take less than 5 minutes, and that's no joke.
Exactly. I think what we really need to focus on tonight, too, is, like, investing in your health is investing in the food you choose to buy, whether it's grocery, restaurants, takeout. I mean, to really break it down tonight, we're going to go into all the reasons why putting a little extra effort into choosing the right things really makes a big difference. And it's really not that much more expensive. I was even quite surprised, Venus, when I looked into some of the organic food things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's only like 10 to 30% more for organic foods. And, you know, we're going to talk later on the Dr. Dave segment of the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15. I want to talk about which foods.
I'd actually like to delve into that a little bit more, because I'm not so versed in that dirty dozen thing.
Uh-huh.
But I would really like to talk about that. And, you know, as my mother, my late mother, God rest her soul, always said to me, and she had her, like, list of quotes always there, like, hell is full of good intentions and this, that, and the other. But she had a quote, and her quote was, you know, what's cheap is expensive, and what's expensive is cheap.
I like that.
And when you really break that down, there are so many fundamental truths to that statement.
I agree.
And, you know, when we talk about junk food, we talk about the fact that, you know, people will – there's one common reason for choosing these overprocessed, calorie-dense foods, and that's cost. Fast food, value meals, as they call them, what kind of value are you getting? Are you getting a value out of the cheapness of the cost? Are you getting a value? Is your health being compromised? So where is the value, really, in the processed foods?
I know
it's interesting, but when you break it down, junk food, is it actually really cheaper than healthy food? And recent research says no, because when you're buying junk food, mm-hmm. what you're paying for is convenience. Right? You're paying for the convenience of having at 1 o'clock in the morning when you're stoned or drunk or whatever it is,
right.
being able to pull into a drive-thru, order what you want of this beautifully, you know, spectacular menu which has everything your heart desires and receiving it in less than 5 minutes. And something's going off here, and I'm sorry, excuse me, guys, I think I might have my Facebook
iPad up. So, yeah, because we do get questions that are coming through. So, please
yeah,
shut that up.
I don't know who that is, but I'm so sorry for that. So, basically, that's what you're paying for.
But you know what? We aren't just paying for that in the short term. We're paying for it in the long term.
No, absolutely not. And that's exactly what I'm coming to here, because an average trip, okay, say you have a family of four, okay? So it's you, myself, Woody, our producer, and Dan, the juicing man. We're a family of four.
Hell
we're
yeah.
like lazy, you know.
Speak for yourself.
With a couple of kids who are just lazy and disgusting, which is not the truth, but just hypothetically speaking. So a family of four going.
So we're just going with this. Like, go with this. Okay.
A family of four, you're going to pay, on average, between about $25 to $30.
Okay.
Or a fast food meal for four people at Burger King, McDonald's, wherever it may be.
Is that more with candles and wine or?
Much more.
Okay, just checking.
Now, in contrast, a home-cooked meal of, say, chicken, steamed vegetables, you know, a really good carb, say, you know, rice or whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm. Shirataki noodles.
Shirataki noodles. You could basically serve for maybe about $20 and under. I mean, really think about that for a second. A meal. You can.
But
even if it's $25, you're still getting the nutrition. So basically what I'm saying is that even though you think you're getting great value in that drive-through, at the end of the day you're not, because if you look at the long-term
right.
effects of your health,
yeah.
okay, and say, you know, you get diabetes or whatever it may
you know
be.
What? I was just thinking about this. How about if you took all the copays that people
mm-hmm.
encounter to have medications for hypertension, hyperlipidemia, diabetes, what have you, put all those copays together over the course of a month, and that's a lot. I mean, it really is, Venus. And, you know, to me, we love food. We absolutely love food. We love shopping for it. We love dining out. We love cooking it.
Mm-hmm.
We love, you know, speaking about it, creating new recipes, and, of course, having a radio show and cooking show around the whole thing. But I think people need to realize that it is just so important, so, so important to make the right choices. You know, you go to a grocery store and you see sales. Is it worth getting that just because it's on sale, or does it really make sense? You know, I think we have to really always stand back and look at why we're making our purchases. Is it for convenience? Is it to save money? I mean, I've seen people go up to the register with coupons. Have you ever seen a coupon for anything that's actually healthy? It's usually crap. It really
usually
is crap.
Usually crap.
Usually.
You know, it's interesting because when you look in the supermarkets, it's I'm sorry. This dinging on my Facebook is
you know,
something has to be done, and I don't really understand what it is.
Well, we will take care of that in a minute. That iPad might just need to get flushed in the toilet. But you're right. You are
sorry,
so right.
Sorry.
I mean, really, I mean, it's
and I think, you know, this is really prevalent in marketing in general, you know. Price when you, you know, when it comes to any industry, real estate, hospitality, food, retail, pricing is the biggest manipulator of consumers, right? Because pricing is what is going to drive people. Well, if it's cheaper, if I'm getting a deal, why wouldn't I buy it? Even if it's garbage. Some people buy things on sale even though they know they're not going to use them. But they
yes.
know that
yes.
they're getting a good deal.
My parents, I love them dearly. My mother is the coupon queen. Well, right now she's in a nursing home getting some rehabilitation. God bless her. I love her dearly. But when she shops, she's that lady in line with the 40 coupons, which I've never, ever used. But what I have noticed with them is they do that. They stockpile stuff that they don't use. Their garage, they have these shelves and what have you. It looks like a back room of a grocery store just with extra surplus, and they don't really eat all the stuff. And I think, you know, people back in the day kind of came from that lower income mentality where you got to get the best bang for your buck and the most value, and they come from that generation.
Well, remember, back in the day, too, I mean, even, you know, when my parents, me and my mother, you know, she grew up in the World War, in the middle of, you know, Czech Republic.
Right.
I mean, she, you know, she was living on food stamps. I mean, for them, there were so few resources and there was so, you know, limited accessibility to food that it's almost like they took on this whole kind of misguided concept and perception towards food,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And I think that obviously our generation is very different nowadays and there's just so many things available to us. Online, at the drop of a hat, we can access anything in the world.
Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, even the shirataki noodles, which we talked about me making tonight, I actually ordered those through Amazon Prime.
You ordered those on Amazon Prime, but it's interesting because now I'm conscious of them. We're actually seeing them now more and more.
Correct.
Like when we went to North Shore Farms, we saw shirataki, all kinds of noodles. I mean, there were macaroni. There was all different kinds of noodles. And, you know, not to say, you know, these noodles are not cheap. They come with a bit of a price.
But health is priceless.
Health is priceless.
All right. And I mean, and you know what? We're actually blessed in the U.S. So many different countries
mm-hmm.
have much more exorbitant prices for different foods. Like, for example, in Switzerland, bread, cereal, meat, and fish are exorbitant. I mean, they looked at 38 countries in Europe and across the intercontinental, and Switzerland had they came in the highest on bread, cereal, meat, and fish.
And can I just say something?
Yeah.
That has not changed. That has not changed in about 20 years. Because when I first took my first trip around Europe when I was about 17, 18, okay, I'm making myself a little bit younger here, but I tell you what, I remember the prices in Switzerland were so expensive. I mean, a slice of pizza back then was like $6, and that's, you know, 20 years ago. So
yeah.
Switzerland is extremely expensive.
But, you know, a lot of countries are expensive. So Kuwait, you can get a gallon of gas for 78 cents, right? Oil-producing country, excuse me. But lettuce is $4.50 a head. And that's not organic. That's not top end. I mean, even in London, I did some research on that.
Gas?
Well, gas is out of the question. Oh, my God. And everything's in a liter. And, oh, my God.
Converted, it's probably about $8 a gallon.
I would not even want to look at that. But I could tell you this. Eggs in London, $5.28 a dozen.
See, I don't remember them being so expensive. I actually don't know if that's accurate.
Well, we'll have to go back and check.
We must. But, you know, we're interesting that we were talking about shirataki noodles. We just got a Facebook question from a listener on Long Island asking, do the shirataki noodles taste just as good as regular pasta? And why would somebody even consider eating these? What do you think, David?
So that's actually a great question. So really, it's a twofold answer. So first and foremost, you have two types of shirataki's that are fairly common. One is the konjac root, which is the zero calorie. And then you have the tofu version, which has basically maybe 30 calories for a portion. So do they taste like regular pasta? Let's not kid ourselves. Nothing tastes like regular pasta.
No, sorry. It's not possible.
But I can tell you time and time again, and we've discussed this, I will be sitting at the dinner table with Venus, and we use the shirataki's. Like, for example, one night we made a beautiful mussel and clam pasilipo, remember that?
Yeah.
With a nice red sauce, and we had it over the shirataki's. I've said it to patients, friends, and everybody. I have no want. It's so good. You know, not to say once in a while, I don't want, you know, to say we do it often, but if we're going to have pasta, Venus and I have been getting pasta from Italy, which does not have the organophosphates and this whole situation with the Roundup pre-grow season or what have you. And a lot of the problems with gluten, we're actually thinking is coming from this use of the products like Roundup, what have you. So we have done that, and I got to admit, if we do have pasta and we do that, I don't feel as, you know, bloated or toxic the next day.
You know, I don't either. And, you know, it's interesting because it really is about where you choose to shop. There's a wonderful European Portuguese bakery around about where we are. And I'm not going to include Dr. Dave in this conversation because, you know, Dr. Dave does not eat.
Never.
Ever. I'm going to blame myself solely on these transactions.
Can you please? You'll take the blame, and I'll just
and
sit
I,
there and look at
not
you.
Me, but I also take me there, so I can purchase these products, and you know, bread rolls, you know, cheese and ham, kind of breakfast rolls, donuts. I mean, you name it. Whatever you eat from this bakery, it just has such a different effect on you, right?
It does. So we took a couple of hooky days recently to go to the beach and what have you, and we did stop by this place. Venus, where did you get that pistol permit to put the gun to my head to actually have some bread?
From these guns right
those
here.
Are guns, yeah. Venus has been working out so hard.
My arms are
she's
guns
she's got
right
some
now.
Serious guns. But all serious, you know, I mean, really being serious about this, the European way of making food and really just the quality. I mean, gluttony is gluttony. Don't do it. But we had some good products that day.
Great products.
And I didn't feel guilty. I didn't feel washed out. I didn't feel bloated. I didn't feel toxic.
You know, I think our point is that if you want to cheat a little bit or you want to really kind of have something that, you know, maybe a little dirty or whatever, don't go to the supermarket.
Get a Drake's cake, for God's sake.
No, but what I'm saying is don't go to these, you know, huge supermarkets. And I'm not going to name any names because it's not quite fair. But don't go to the huge supermarkets and buy into the garbage, okay? Because they're all making their own bread. They're all making their own donuts. And they sell them in, like, generic-looking boxes.
No. They sell them in those clamshell plastic packages, which that doesn't make bakery stuff sexy to me.
But my point is, let's, number one, support our local independent stores and farmers and vendors. Let's support them first.
First and foremost, that
is the key to building a great community. But number two is, let's buy the stuff from these stores because we know that the ingredients are good and they're fresh and they have less preservatives and maybe they'll, you know, grow mold a lot quicker than the stuff from your, you know, big supermarket chain. But we know when they're growing mold that they're fresher and they have less preservatives.
Yes.
Okay.
But I think, you know, it's also the energy of the process, Venus, too. So when we went to the Portuguese bakery, the baker came out. She was probably like a 65, 68, 70-year-old woman, passionate about all the products she made, right? We had some questions because we didn't know what things were, and they were answered with passion, right? It wasn't just like rote answers. It was like
they were answered with passion, but you know another thing that I realize now, and I have realized, is that these small, independent, local bakeries What is the difference that you notice in pricing?
Oh, my God. Actually,
much cheaper.
So this is, again, putting your money where your mouth is. We got this breakfast.
Wait, we? Oh, you're including yourself in
this
now.
Yes.
Wow.
Right.
Okay, you said it.
The veil went down. The curtain's open. We got this beautiful, like, I mean, it was like Portuguese ham and egg and cheese and this beautiful, I don't even know what kind of dough it was. It was kind of like a very light, I can't even explain it. Have you ever had anything like that? It wasn't a sandwich. It wasn't a quiche. How would you explain that, love?
It was, you know, it was almost like, I'm sure everyone has been to an Italian bakery and tried their meat breads. You know, it's that meat bread, that big ring that's like dense and has prosciutto and sausage and this and that and freaking sexy ass bread.
Sausage bread.
Sausage bread.
Oh.
But this was kind of similar, but not so much. The bread almost like had a brioche kind of feel to it, a little lighter and sweeter. And it was just delectable.
Oh my God.
And I didn't feel bad. I didn't feel that heavy, dense, gluten feeling after I ate it. So that's not a coincidence. And you try and buy something like that in your main street supermarket, you'll feel absolutely disgusted.
And, you know, it's just, I love the idea, and Venus and I have been trying to do this more and more, is shop every two, three days. Just get some really amazing fresh products. But you know what, Venus? We have a call. Actually, I have a question from Batavia, New York, and it's
Batavia?
Jennifer Batavia.
Is that like Bohemia?
I don't think so. I think that sounds more like a northern
upstate?
Westchester upstate. Yeah, I don't think so.
Cool.
So it's Jennifer. What is the deal with milk? I drink it, but heard it is really bad for you and contains pus, P-U-S-S, and other damaging chemicals. Actually, Batavia, our producer said it's up close to Buffalo. So, I mean, that's a great, great question, right? So, over the years, dairy farming has changed so much. So, you still have your local beautiful dairies that produce very chic batches and what have you.
Right.
But in the factory farming thing, I mean, unless it's organic, they are using so much stuff that is just terrible. I mean, they're using hormones and antibiotics. The food they're eating are just laden with pesticides, herbicides.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even the fertilizer that is used is, you know, sometimes it's even sewage sludge in many crops and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I've always said, you know, when it comes to organic and making the right choices, I really think it's extremely, extremely important to get certain things organic. Dairy is a big one. I mean, when you look at it, it's not that much more, okay? It's really not, and they don't have the recombinant hormones and all these things and what have you.
But can I just add to that?
Please,
actually,
please.
Because it's something that I have actually never even bothered to research. I love whole milk, okay? And there's been many times that I've bought the generic, regular whole milk.
Gotcha.
Okay, even if it's from CVS or Stop and Shop, I don't care, naming names, who cares? Put it in the fridge. Why is it that it spoils so quickly after 2-3 days? Yet when I buy organic milk, even if it is whole milk, and don't buy whole milk now, I only buy 2%, organic milk lasts for a long time. Why is that? What are they doing in the process of pasteurizing and so forth that the organic milk lasts forever in your fridge? And is that a good thing or is that a bad thing? I'm trying to figure it out.
Well, I can't imagine it a bad thing as long as it's you know, healthy and hasn't turned on you. I don't actually know how to answer that. I would actually think it would be the opposite. I would actually think more, quote-unquote, conventional milk might last longer. But, you know, we've come so far with organic products and what have you that I think it's extremely exciting. And where it used to be like only one or two companies or, you know, offered organic stuff even in a grocery store, what have you. Now you have so many companies that have come out with things. And, I mean, now you could actually sit in front of the dairy area, right, and actually pick which organic milk you want based on price or availability or what they offer. So that's a great thing.
Well, organic meal does tend to be extremely expensive. And you'll find that the Main Street supermarkets normally have the best deals on organic milk. You know, normally an average gallon of organic milk is going to cost you $5. $5, that's not a joke.
Yeah.
And there's specific places that I will go, like North Shore Farms, always have sales on their local, what do you call them, places that make milk?
Farms, dairies, what have you.
Dairies.
Yeah.
And I'll always buy that milk. It's like the Amish Country Farms milk.
Yes.
Right? It's like always $3.99, for example. But why is that sale specifically always on that milk? Is there something wrong with that milk? Like, why?
No.
You know, like, I've never really done extensive research to find out what is the difference between all these different farms and, you know, dairy places that produce milk. What is the difference? Is there any difference?
Well, I think there's a lot of differences. First off, when it comes to dairy farms and what have you,
mm-hmm.
to go from the actual livestock, you know, the dairy cows, to the processing, to the distributed to the grocery stores makes a big difference, right? So if you have a real local dairy, it's going to get there with less trucking and less
right.
processing and less distributors. So I think that has a big, you know, process on the price. And also, are they marketing themselves? Like that Amish dairy.
There's always a sale.
Always a sale. Now, does North Shore Farms choose to have a loss leader, you know, in every department?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of grocery stores will do that. They'll actually have a loss leader that brings you to that dairy section and you'll buy your Amish milk for the lower price, but right next to it is the butter and the cottage cheese and the
mm-hmm.
ricotta and all of these things. So it brings you into that area. But you know what, Venus, we have another question that came in via email.
Mm-hmm.
What spices and herbs can we use in cooking to balance taste and nutrition? That's a great question. That's probably about 8 hours, 10 hours, but you know, I think when it comes to spices and herbs,
herbs with an H.
You know, Venus and I have a herb garden, and we probably about.
Well, we've lost our.
No, you lost them because you're in charge of it.
We've lost our parsley.
To a little beautiful caterpillar.
Caterpillar, who, by the way, is growing by the minute, and I actually kind of prodded him a bit today.
You touched him?
I touched him. Well, not with my finger. I was watering my herbs with my watering can, as I do every day, twice a day.
And God, are you cute when you do that.
And a little spurt of water fell on the caterpillar's
Aww.
Head. And in the process of that happening, this orange thing sprouted out of his head. And I said, what is that? That must be some kind of defense mechanism.
Probably.
And then I said, well, isn't it interesting? So I took a little stem of the parsley, pulled it off the plant, and I kind of lightly prodded the caterpillar. I would never hurt anything.
Mm-hmm.
Just to kind of see.
By the way, folks, he's been there for about a week.
He's been there for a week, and he's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I'm kind of
And our parsley is getting smaller and smaller and smaller.
That this freaking caterpillar is going to, like, grow to the size of, like, the Incredible Hulk and try to, like, eat us.
Yes.
And I prodded his head, and sure enough, this orange thing sprouted out of his head.
I don't think he was happy.
And as I prodded it even more, the orange, it was like an orange antenna, came out of his head and actually almost like tried to attack the parsley stem. I have to show it to you.
Anyway,
we're not touching that parsley. We're not eating the parsley. We're letting our caterpillar
live.
Feast on
our
parsley.
On our parsley. We have actually given the parsley over to him.
But regardless, we have grown, you know, we have this wonderful herb garden, and it's interesting because I spoke to one of my friends, Dave Svetlana, and she likes the whole idea of the herb garden, and she says that she can't keep the herbs alive because the herbs take so much watering. You have to water them two to three times a day.
And I'm glad you do.
You know, especially in the New York sun, they dry out.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
So we have a wonderful array of fresh herbs, and again, yes, going back to the email question, what herbs and spices are going to balance out a meal and provide you with some kind of nutrition in a sense. And let's talk about even maybe fresh herbs versus dried herbs.
Well,
and what's better to use in certain...
Well, for example, right? So we have rosemary. Rosemary is a...
Oh, Love it.
Just love it, right? So we do it a lot with grilled vegetables and Italian dishes. But rosemary is antiviral, antifungal, antibacterial. So right there and then, healthy. We have cilantro.
Really?
Cilantro is great for detoxification, heavy metal chelation, things like that.
Yeah.
So though these herbs are absolutely stunning, delicious, and we always like to go out, we'll take scissors outside and we'll snip, snip, snip and smell these beautiful herbs and bring them in. And with fresh herbs, you really don't want to throw those in early. You want to put them in right at the end where their bouquet of flavor is just like right there.
Always at the end.
Right?
Always at the end.
But, you know, the email question is, you know, discussing balancing of taste. And I think that comes with, you know, just thinking about what cultural combination of flavors you want to use, right? I mean, you...
But it's a matter of taste also.
Well, it is. But like with people, when I teach the cooking classes, do the cooking shows, what have you, I talk about clustering of the flavors. So, for example, cumin, right?
Mm-hmm.
With chipotle and lime and cilantro, things like that. That's a flavor clustering, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would you throw rosemary in with cilantro? Definitely not.
No,
you're just not going to do it.
No,
so you have to learn how things go. And I mean, even when you do like a nice soup or a broth, you make a bouquet garni, right? You take the fresh herbs and some dried herbs. You put it in a beautiful cheesecloth and you drop it in. So, you know, it's important to learn how to cluster flavors together. But fresh herbs are great. And then you can get into, like, Ayurvedic medicine, for example, right? They use spices and herbs, and so does Chinese medicine, to balance energies.
100%. You know, that's actually made me think about herbs and especially spices. You know, when it comes to spices, again, in the Western world, right, we're not so big on spices. Like, it's something that we just didn't really – it's not part of our culture.
Well, we don't have markets like in India and Asia, right?
Markets. But when you know, when it comes to the Eastern world, Eastern medicine, you know, for example, Ayurvedic medicine, you know, these spices are extremely prevalent. So when it comes to saving on money, which is obviously what we're talking about here, oh, that's the Krusty Clown. Krusty Clown, I'm sorry. I'm pulling the shots right now, and you're going to have to wait a few minutes.
Is he just clowning around with you?
He's clowning around. So my point is, you know, talk about put your money where your mouth is. Herbs and spices, especially spices, we have found, and of course we've been doing a lot more research and we've experimented and actually discovered so many different places. You want to get great herbs and spices, go to your local Asian markets. Go to your local Chinese supermarkets. Go to your local Indian supermarkets, because there, my friend, you are going to find the best spices at the cheapest prices.
You know what? You're absolutely right.
Think about when we were making that, what was that chimichurri thing that I made? I don't even remember the name of it. Green.
Business. We went to like two different Indian marketplaces.
We bought
marketplaces.
A huge, like 10-pound bag of basmati rice, number one, which isn't even a spice, but I had to mention it. We bought like a 2-pound bag of cumin seeds.
Yeah,
right?
For like $3.99.
For like nothing.
When you go to a grocery store.
And what we do is, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to buy your McCormick, you know, ground cumin and Stop and Shop for $5, which you don't even know how long it's been there, how it's been made, so forth, how it's been crushed. You buy your coriander seeds, your cumin seeds.
And you can make
dirt cheap.
Curry in a hurry.
You can make curry in a hurry. And all you do is you toast these seeds, and you crush them
in the mortar and pestle. There is nothing better than smelling toasted fresh herbs in a kitchen, and when you grind them down.
Absolutely. So when we talk about taste combination and health benefits, all the great spices have their own health benefits, right?
They do.
There's no spice that's bad for you. It really is about what you like. How much spice do you like? How much smoke do you like? What is your intention here, you know? So
holy,
I think in every recipe, like, for example, we made...
We got to talk about some of the food we made this week.
We're going to talk about the food we made this week. And
we
I'll
do.
To,
we do need to talk
weird
about
and wacky, because I'm really, really very focused on this right now, and I think everyone really needs to understand this. I found a wonderful recipe for zucchini fritters. And
by the way,
to make
absolutely amazing.
For a long time. And, you know, I don't just find one recipe. When you're looking to find something new, to all our listeners, look at least 5, 6, 7, 8 different recipes. Go on all the websites. Look what makes sense to you. So I wanted to make these gluten-free zucchini fritters, okay? My mother, God rest her soul, may she rest in peace, she used to make the best potato pancakes, right? And they were just like the best thing you've ever had.
That's dirty.
And they probably weren't gluten-free, but they were so good.
No, well, so, no, they must, I mean, you know, unless there's, you know, wheat, oats, barley, rye, I mean,
whatever.
Why not, right?
They were just great. So I was looking at zucchini. I said, I want to make zucchini fritters, and I found a wonderful recipe that actually called for gram flour. And the gram flour we happened to buy in this wonderful Indian supermarket.
Now, can we be very specific for the audience? People know about graham cracker, Dr. Graham.
Graham.
No, he had a whole movement in the Midwest of the United States. So graham, G-R-H-A-M, is whole wheat flour. Now, Graham, as Venus is about to talk to, is G-R-A-M. Go ahead, Venus.
And they use it a lot in Indian cooking. It's actually made from the split chickpeas. Okay?
Yes.
And it's supposed to be very good for you. So we bought a nice bag of that. And so we made these amazing zucchini fritters. And, you know, to the regular person who's kind of lazy and a bit unmotivated, who the hell is going to take the time to make zucchini fritters? Well, listen, if you are interested in health and you're interested in making, creating something that's absolutely amazing, zucchini fritters are very easy.
Yes.
And basically, we made the zucchini fritters. We got these beautiful, fresh zucchinis,
mm-hmm.
washed them, kept the skin on, and we grated them,
Ooh.
Right? Because you have to grate them like you grate a cucumber to make a tzatziki sauce.
Correct.
Okay. And we grated them. And, you know, it's interesting because when you make new things, you learn so much through the process, okay? And you just learn just about life in general and nature and just all these things that are possible. And so we grated about 4 medium-sized zucchinis. And so we put them in a sieve, right, because you want the water to come out of them. And
well, we also salted them and put them in the cheesecloth.
Yeah. Well, so they tell you to put it in a regular tea cloth. What do they call them?
Well, you call them tea cloths.
We call them
kitchen towel, for God's sake.
We call them tea cloths, and it's interesting because I've been in this country for 20 years, and I still say tea cloth. So I said to myself, wait a minute, is a tea cloth actually going to get out the residue of the water?
And it
probably
would.
Probably not. And I knew that Dr. Dave had cheesecloths laying in his freaking drawer.
Yeah,
that
no, my drawer.
In his drawer.
With my socks.
In his drawers, I was going to say. Definitely not in your drawers.
Hey,
that
nothing,
means your underwear,
nothing
right?
Worse than, you know, having a cheesecloth set of underwear. mean,
So I'd seen these cheesecloths in his drawer, and I was like, wow, they're kind of collecting mothballs and spider webs. Let's take it out. So we took it out, of course. We rinsed it, made sure everything was clean. And we put the zucchini in over a sieve, and we put like 1/2 teaspoon of very finely, fine sea salt.
Yes.
And that actually draws out the moisture,
right.
Of course.
And that's important to talk to, you know, the audience about, too. Salt has been used to cure. It always draws moisture out, and it's a great thing. The osmotic process pulls that water out, and it made these pancakes, fritters.
I kid you not. So half.
All right, go ahead. You got to
talk
about it.
Then you grab the cheesecloth and you just squeeze it out, and you imagine that you're just like squeezing the neck of your ex-mother-in-law. Well, that's what I was thinking about anyway. And you squeeze and squeeze it. And your muscles you just use your muscles, and you squeeze it and squeeze it until
I think you actually popped a blood vessel somewhere.
There's nothing left in these zucchinis but pure zucchini. Then, of course, you mix in your eggs and your gram flour and a pinch of salt and some.
Now, did you tell the listeners what this gram flour is all about?
Chickpeas?
But did you tell them how fine it is?
Very fine.
I mean, it's so fine. And we played with everything from almond flour to coconut flour and had some real, real failures. And I got to say, Venus, that gram flour there were these fritters or pancakes, whatever you want to call them, you could say either way, were so light.
They were amazing.
Light.
They were absolutely amazing.
Light.
So we made the batter. It was almost like making a pancake batter. You know, you heat up a hot pan with some olive oil, and you throw in, you know, a little kind of ice cream scoopful of this batter, press it down, 3 minutes either side, killer zucchini fritters. Am I not kidding?
No, seriously, killer. I mean, seriously.
Okay, and what a great side dish that makes. You can even heat it up the next day, eat it cold, whatever, okay? And these are the kind of things that I think everyone really needs to kind of...
But you put the green onions in and all the flavorings.
The green onions.
I am in love with Grand Plow. So here we go. We go into this Indian store. We're looking for a few things to make this beautiful sauce that Venus wanted to make. And we saw this flour, Grand Plow. I'm like, wow. I mean, that's chickpeas.
Mm-hmm.
That's gluten-free, right? And I just cannot believe how good those fritters turned out. And I said to Venus, let's try to actually make a nice breakfast pancake out of these. I mean... You know, I mean, pancakes are like eating a cake with syrup on top and butter. I mean, it's basically a cake that's made in a pan, pancake. But these were so good, so light, gluten-free, lower in the glycemic index that I really want to make these again. And Venus did a really, really great job with these. I mean, why not? Why not? And it's really good. Like, when you go to these different ethnic markets, you can look at what they're doing. We got these chickpea snacks, which were literally chickpeas that were, I guess, kind of like dehydrated and baked and herbs and spices were put on them. I mean, I love these things. You know, I absolutely love different ethnic foods and looking at how they can fit into a cost-conscious, healthy lifestyle.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, in any case, so that was a lot of fun. And then just quickly, you know, before we go on to the weird, wild, and wacky, I'm so sorry we kind of took a lot of time.
There's no sorry.
It's all good.
Yeah.
It's all good, you know, because when you're passionate about something, you just, you know.
You speak it through.
There's no time limit. But we actually did have a wonderful trip this week on last Tuesday.
Oh, yes.
Right? Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, please.
Now, we were with, you have so many friends, I forget their names, Wendy.
Wendy and Anthony.
Anthony Flame.
Flame. Flamia, actually. They go by a code name on
Is
Facebook.
Flamia? Because
Flamia.
It's like interesting, because I always want to, like, I don't know, I want to make up their last name for some reason. Like, I call them Fiamma, but it's actually...
Yeah. You know, they'll answer to anything as long as you bring food on the boat.
Lovely, lovely couple. Big foodies, have this beautiful boat. So we actually went to meet them last Tuesday, middle of the week, just gorgeous day.
Hooky day.
Hooky day. No one else is out there. It's just like you feel like you are just like Tony Robbins on your private island, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like screw the rest of the world. And so we went on this boat trip to this beautiful, very, very quiet, sequestered place out on Long Island called Pirates Cove,
which is in like Port Jefferson. Yeah.
Port Jefferson, North Shore of Long Island, and we, you know, they docked the boats, and we had such a wonderful time, and absolutely gorgeous boat. It was like what 35 foot or something.
37 foot Regal.
37 foot Regal, but just everything, every.
I mean everything, kitchens and bath and this and that.
There was no, you know, every single square inch of that boat had a purpose. And they had this, well, you couldn't really call it a barbecue, it was like a grill.
No, it was actually a grill.
It was a grill that they'd never used. They'd never used, so we christened the boat that day. And, of course, David was very clever. You know, he took about half an hour that morning, and he really threw together some amazing food items, some shrimp and scallop skewers. We made clams on the half shell, raw clams on the half shell, an amazing Asian slaw, arugula salad, zucchini, you name it. So we got on the boat, and, you know, they'd brought some pre-made
nosh,
things, which
nosh.
Was kind of cool,
yeah.
And this, that, and the other. And so we turned on the grill, we were very excited that it really heated up very well. I mean, it was just a small grill in, like, a flat top on the boat. Like,
we christened it, by the way. Do you know he was so happy?
We did christen it. So we started with the zucchini. So David How did you do the zucchini?
Oh, the zucchini we cut lengthwise. Mm-hmm. Marinated a little olive oil, balsamic. I always love the Worcestershire sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Put that in there. A little fresh rosemary from the garden, salt, pepper. Yum, yum, yum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we made that. Then.
Then we did the skewers with the olive oil, garlic, lemon, dill, and a little bit, just a little bit of the grape poupon mustard.
Absolutely amazing.
And grilled these. Oh, my God.
I mean, it was just such a wonderful meal, and they were so impressed by it all. And it was just so light, pretty much no carbs, right? No fat.
Actually, it was a guilt-free meal. And
well,
we are invited back, by the way.
We are invited back.
That.
So that was absolutely wonderful. And again, oh, Krusty Clown.
Yeah, Krusty's getting a little tweaked.
He's getting tweaked. He's following me around. I'm getting a little scared.
You should. Check behind you.
I will check behind me. So, okay, so in terms of weird and wacky, I wasn't really sure what to do, to tell you the truth. You know, I was actually having a look at some different search engines and so forth. But so we're talking about junk food versus healthy food.
Mm-hmm.
And so I found some interesting things. You know, do you know when the term junk food was actually first invented?
1940.
Well, you know, the term junk food was originally used in the 1960s.
Damn.
It became wildly popular in the following decade when the song Junk Food Junkie, of course, David remembers that, because I think that was probably when he was about 20 or
whatever. Yeah, hell yes.
Reached the top of the charts in the mid-1970s.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's when kind of junk food generation first began. And, you know, little did they know where it was going to lead to in the 21st century.
You know what? It led to obesity.
It led to obesity. Now, if you're looking for someone or something to blame for the junk food culture, let's blame our telly.
Our telly?
It's a proven fact that nearly 80% of all food commercials that air on Saturday morning, children shows, are for junk food.
Oh, you know what, Venus? That is a crime.
It's a crime.
That's
it's
a crime. That is a
so
crime.
So that's basically what is happening right now. Now, the American snack Cracker Jack, and I, even living and growing up in London, I knew Cracker Jack. I don't know how, but Cracker Jack was prevalent in my household.
I
knew what Cracker Jack was. Now, Cracker Jack and the masters of marketing that they were the first to actually use toys as a ploy,
even,
as a manipulation. To target junk food to children.
Even before the Happy Meal.
And I don't even know what toys they were targeting.
You know what?
But
I used to eat Cracker Jack as a kid. They were crap. It was like a 2-cent gift.
Now, they named the name pretty well. Cracker Jack. Crack, crack.
Crack,
heroin,
crack,
crack. Crack, crack,
yeah. Jack,
drugs,
Jack.
It's like crack. It seriously
is
like
it
crack.
It is.
Now, another thing interesting is about a can of Coca-Cola. Okay. Now, as we all know, a can of Coca-Cola has about between 8 or 9, even 10 teaspoons of sugar.
That's it, huh?
Sugar is not expensive, is it?
No.
Cheap sugar is not expensive. But you've probably never heard that the can of Coca-Cola, the actual metal that is made, the metal that makes the can is by far the most expensive of all the ingredients.
I actually do believe that.
Yeah?
I do.
Since the actual soda is made from just water, refined sugar, and caffeine. Okay? So I think if we really kind of break it down, what these marketing companies are really doing is they are solely relying on the fact that we are just plain stupid. Right?
Well, I would actually change that to they are preying
is
on the
stupid,
fact.
Stupid, uneducated, and they really just don't know what is going into anything. Now, ranking in $23 billion annually, the United States candy market is a global leader.
23 billion.
Yes. And you know what? It just continues to increase and increase and increase. I mean, every time I go into a drugstore or a supermarket, there's something else out there, right? Like whatever it may be. And they are preying again on the unwilling, uneducated, immature group of citizens.
But you know what? It's really a lot of deception in marketing. I mean, one of the things I wanted to share is right now. So McDonald's came out with this kale salad. Wow, kale,
yeah,
right?
Kale.
Oh, my God.
So
cruciferous.
Zero calories.
Anti-cancer. Well, guess what? The McDonald's kale salad actually has more calories, more fat, and more sodium than a Big Mac.
Not that I'm
fond of either one. So let's just share some numbers here, Venus.
Mm-hmm.
Hey,
McDonald's
about it.
Kale salad, 730 calories. Big Mac, 680. The fat in the kale salad, 53 grams. Now, that's just with all the stuff they throw into it, right? Big Mac.
What is the stuff that they throw into
it? It's probably cheese and dressing and this and that to make it appealing to the people that go to McDonald's that don't eat kale salad.
But who's going to McDonald's and ordering a kale salad when you can order a Big Mac and stuff your face?
Well, I'm not going to go to McDonald's for either one. And if we're going to have a kale salad, we'll make it at home or have it out. But, I mean, seriously, 53 grams of fat in a kale salad, 38 grams of fat in a Big Mac, whatever you call those things, right? I mean, this is really deceptive. I mean, everybody, you see kale salad on the...
But is it deceptive? Because aren't they disclosing their calorie counts for all their meals?
Yeah, but where? Where?
Well,
is anybody paying attention?
It doesn't matter if no one's paying attention. As long as it is written out there on the menu, they don't care if anyone's looking at it. Do you really think anyone's looking at it?
Well, you know what? This summarizes buyer beware. Buyer beware.
Buyer beware.
Right?
And that's the thing. And that's what these marketing companies are preying on again, uneducated, stupid people. Okay?
Well,
because
I wouldn't even say
what?
Stupid. I would say people that aren't privileged enough to understand the mechanism. I mean, if you look at these ingredient squares on the back of a box, it could be quite confusing, right? We were talking about that the other day. Venus and I went shopping, and there was this nut bar that looked so good, kind of like a Kind nut bar,
mm-hmm.
but it was fivefold the size or better. And the serving size...
Oh, yeah, that was in the Spanish supermarket.
Right? Was
I
what?
Picked it up, and it weighed. It was like a weapon. Like, you could kill somebody with
yes,
this thing.
It was.
It was so heavy and dense and hard. And I'm telling you, if I hit David over the head, he would collapse.
Well,
okay?
I thought you did.
And if I bit into that, I would probably shatter all of my teeth. And it said like 150 calories? 150 calories per serving. And there were five servings in the bar.
Now, the bar was really not that big. I mean, well.
But it was dense.
But it was dense.
It was
but
heavy.
Here's the thing. People look at the serving size, forget that there's five serving size for the bar, and now you're at 750 calories for a bar.
Yep.
That's a lot. That's a whole day's eating.
It is.
Right?
It is. I agree.
But you have to take the time to look at the ingredients, look at the calories, look at the pro forma of all the different macronutrients. It's
but
important.
This is what marketing and branding and the companies are preying on, that Americans just don't have the time.
They
don't have the time to look at ingredients. They don't have the time because they're rushing to the next appointment, to the next job, to the next this, to the next that. And what time do they have to actually stand there in a supermarket and spend 3 minutes reading a nutritional, you know, informational sticker on the back of a product? Tell me.
I mean, you're right. But here's what really bothers me. I mean, it really, really bothers me. I mean, you go out, you have a Big Mac, you expect you're going to hit some serious fat, calories, and the whole thing. But for God's sakes, you go to McDonald's and they talk about a kale salad. Wouldn't you think you'd be off the hook with eating unhealthy? But you're not. You're absolutely not. Right. That's it.
But you have to educate yourself enough to know that why would you buy a salad from a junk food place? It just doesn't make
all
sense. You want a good salad? Go to a good organic food market. Oh, David, this is you.
I got to run. Got to run, Venus.
See you later.
See you soon. So, you know what I thought I'd talk about tonight as I'm running down to the ER here is, you know, when it comes to putting your money where your mouth is, that's a tough, tough thing. I mean, you're paying for mortgages and car payments and insurance payments and kids' tuitions and this, that, and the other. But, you know, when it comes to choosing where to put your money, I think it's important to look at why, how, and when. So what I love is the Environmental Working Group, which is EWG.org, and they put something out which is really great. I mean, it's user-friendly, and they call it the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15. So you know what I love about this, Venus? It talks about why, in a sense, you can get away with certain things that are not organic, that are not so bad for you. And it looks at the pesticides and the, you know, different residues and the hormones, antibiotics, and things like that versus the Clean 15. And I love how they came up with that.
Right.
So the Dirty Dozen, let's review it at this time and point. Strawberries, apples, nectarines, peaches, celery, grapes, cherries, spinach, tomatoes, sweet bell peppers, right? Cherry tomatoes, cukes, kale. So when you look at these things, you wonder why, and seriously, why would you choose to have those non-organic when really it's not that much more to get organic strawberries, organic apples, nectarines, peaches, and celery. So I love what they have done here. They're telling you, listen, if you're going to buy organic or not, figure out which ones are the most important to buy organic and which ones are not. So the Dirty Dozen, stay away from them. But the Clean 15, here's an option when you say, you know what, my grocery bill's X amount of dollars for the week and I want to cut back on spending extra money and I don't know if I could do organic across the board. Well, here's the Clean 15. And if you're not going to buy organic, these are the ones not to buy organic with. Avocados.
You mean you don't have to buy organic?
Well, it's always better. But if you choose not to buy organic, these are the ones that are going to have the least residues of pesticides and things that are going to hurt you.
Right.
So it's avocados, sweet corn, pineapple, cabbage, sweet peas frozen specifically, onions, cantaloupe, grapefruit, asparagus, mangoes, papaya, kiwi, eggplant, honeydew, and cauliflower. So, like, if you had this card in your pocket and you're shopping in the produce area, you could figure out which things should you make sure you buy organic and which things can you get away with not buying organic. And I think that's really important, right? Because none of us can really, I think, buy organic exclusively. It's just not practical.
Not at all.
And those that can, God bless. But even I as a physician and Venus and I as foodies, we go into a grocery store and look at the quality of things and decide, is that really something that's potentially more toxic and should we get organic? I mean, there's certain things that we always get organic, and that's eggs and produce and things of that nature. But not all produce. And, you know, even dairy. I mean, dairy to me, you got to go organic because there's so many hormones and all these recombinant things. So you have to pick and choose your battles. Pick those things that make sense, and financially just choose where to put your money where your mouth is.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I love that. I really do love that.
So we got some great shows coming up too, Venus.
Yeah, well, you know, to everyone listening, we are going to be traveling out of the country. We are going to be heading up to Canada.
Yes, we are. Very excited.
Producer Woody and Dan the Juicing Man. We're going to be doing so. We're going to be going on a working vacation up there, and I'm very, very looking forward to that. And we will be flying back, I believe, Monday evening. So Woody House is going to be hosting the show for us. Right? What is he going to be doing?
So on August 8th, which is this coming Monday, which I really, really want everybody to tune into, it's going to be about marketing, social media, and you know what? Everybody should have an awareness of what's going on in this world right now with social media marketing,
yes,
marketing in general. I mean, whether you're promoting a cause or a foundation or a business or a passion, I mean, you should really tune in. And then I think the week beyond, it's joke week.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have some seriously cool things to talk about. Hopefully we're going to have a couple of good comedians on. I think we have Greg Kettner on standby for that, and we have to confirm up some other comedians. So it's going to be a fun show.
It's going to be a fun show. I can't wait for that. And, of course, next time we do air, we're going to be talking to you about our experiences in Canada.
Can't wait.
So excited.
Can't wait.
So excited. I really want to check out some interesting, I don't know if they have markets up there or what they have, but I'm sure we'll be trying out some great restaurants and and doing our own cooking and hoping that Dan Down the Juicing Man will make some juices for us because we haven't juiced in a while.
Oh, he will. He will.
He better.
Well, you know what? I mean, you know, if we can, we will, and being in Canada is such a cool experience. I mean, you know, to me, when I was growing up as a young child, I pictured Canada as like cabins and mountains and, you know, dirt roads and all of that. But, my God, we're going to a city that's going to be amazing. We're going to be right on the water. We got a beautiful hotel we're staying at, so I'm really excited. Really, really excited.
It's going to be great. It's going to be absolutely great. But this has been a great show. I mean, I'm very happy that we kind of really aired our opinions and some factual information about, you know, the differences between junk food and healthy food. And I think at the end of the day, guys, I mean, really, you treat yourself to some really good nutritious stuff. It can only bring you value and a good number of years in your life. At the end of the day, I mean, there's no price you can put on that, right?
There's no price on that, Venus. And I think the biggest thing is to realize that healthy, nutritious, vital food can be beyond sexy. I mean, it could be the best morsel you ever put in your mouth. So, you know, people, you know, I think when they go out to dinner and this and that and what have you, drop all the ideas of having to go for gluttony and comfort and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Try new foods. Try palate stimulating foods. It's so good.
It really is. And again, it's about building that muscle. You know, it's about conditioning yourself, building emotional muscle to know that you're worth better, building real muscle to know that, you know, it's going to keep you fit and keep you going even longer. So I think it's just creating good habits. And once you create this good habit, there's no going back.
There's
right?
no going back.
So to everyone listening, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We have had an amazing show. And, you know, we're off to Canada in a few days. Have a wonderful, healthy, and inspiring week. And we will be joining you on August 15th for a brand new show.
Absolutely.
Have a great night, guys.
Good night. Put your money where your mouth are.
Bye-bye.